This is CliffCentral.com.
What about us? Yeah. What about us? What about us?
It's Pink. What about us?
What about us? What about us? What about
you know what the song's about?
No, tell us.
It's about Pink going, ah, politicians, you're screwing us. We've all fallen for your promises and blah, blah. What about us?
Well.
Get a life, Pink.
She still expects more from politicians.
Yes, that's what the song's about. Well, okay. It's actually basically, it's like a very nice way of saying, I hate you, Trump.
Oh, okay.
I actually like the song and I appreciate the message.
Oh, I hear the song everywhere. I hate it.
I really do love watching the pro-Trump and anti-Trumpists go at each other on Twitter. Yeah. It is one of the most entertaining things to observe.
So much fun. And they did it at the Emmys as well. They were just like constantly Trump bashing. And you just see ordinary Americans are starting to hate Hollywood like never before.
No, but I'm talking about ordinary Americans.
Oh, yeah, that's hysterical.
I mean, they hate each other so much.
Yep.
They
I don't
really
like you.
Do.
I support Donald Trump. You're stupid.
You're stupid.
I don't know what will happen if Trump gets a second term. I think we'll just scrape through.
Trump Pence 2022, keeping America great again.
Keeping America great again.
I'm pretty sure that's already out.
All right. By the way, a couple of messages here before we get into some news. Ben, you did not mention the Barcelona game that was played at a totally empty stadium.
Yeah, but that was because of politics. So basically in Catalonia.
Oh yes, of course.
You can't be independent. You can't have your own ideas. So yeah, Barcelona, they beat Eibar, I think it was 3-0. But come on. I don't like to mix sport and politics unless it's the Springboks. Well, even then, I don't like to do it.
Greg says, Ben, I think Elton needs to sort out that bad hairstyle first and foremost. And the sad part is next week, the All Blacks are going to give it to us with no lube.
Yeah, but the All Blacks aren't even going to pick the strongest team this week. This is what's going to make this next loss so difficult to even stomach. Well, unfortunately, Brady Retallick and his wife, they lost their baby.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Yeah, a tragic story from their side. So he's gone back. I think three or four other key players won't be playing as well. But whatever. The All Blacks won before they even played on Saturday. The trophy, that is.
All right, Mubs, what do you got for us? Let's get into it.
Well, it was a busy weekend at an ANC conference in the Eastern Cape.
Did you see the footage?
Wow.
Wow.
Punches being thrown, chairs being used as weapons. It was quite a sight. And as a result, at least 8 ANC delegates had to be hospitalized over the weekend after sustaining injuries during the clashes at their Eastern Cape elective conference. The clashes broke out between alleged rival factions. And this all went down at the East London International Convention Center, where the party was electing its provincial leadership, which they did eventually. The conference was delayed by some days as officials were having difficulties verifying delegates ahead of the vote. Some party members accused officials of deliberately sidelining them. Police had to fire stun grenades to disperse a group of ANC members who attempted to force their way into the center after they were barred from entering.
Jeez.
The disruptions, however, were stopped by police. And then the nominations went through and the votes were cast. And yes, they managed to elect, you know, all the necessary people that needed to be elected. And then after the fact, the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, described the behavior as just regrettable. Yeah, he condemned the violence which erupted.
He went up and said, this behavior is not the kind of behavior we would expect from African National Congress members. And I thought, no, it's exactly the kind
exactly.
of behavior
How
we would expect.
How out of touch are you? This is exactly
Don't
what
you know
African...
what kind of a party you're leading?
This is exactly what this party is.
He said that he felt deeply ashamed after witnessing all of that, which, I mean, you know, you're expected to do. Like, you must get up and condemn such things because then otherwise people use it against you. I don't know. So, yeah, he found the whole thing to be embarrassing, to say the least. And, you know, that's just the way it goes in politics sometimes.
Yeah, I don't understand how anyone's surprised by this. I mean, there was furniture flying. It was unbelievable. I saw it on TV. It was like a riot. People were throwing chairs at each other.
It was a full-on
Have you seen the footage? It's phenomenal.
just to imagine that these are grown adult humans, not just any humans, by the way, the kind of humans we would trust with government. You want to know why the Eastern Cape is the poorest province in South Africa now? You want to know why there are no jobs in the Eastern Cape, why people are flooding out of that province in any direction they can go, even the drought-ridden Western Cape where they know they won't get water for a couple of months, because it's such a cluster fuck. It's just the most appalling disaster, the Eastern Cape. And why? Because the ANC run it, full stop. That's all there is to it. It's a disgrace. I mean, to see people throwing garden chairs at each other and screaming and carrying on howling at each other. You know why? Because this is what happens when a bunch of untalented, incapable ANC cadres who've been deployed suddenly realize that someone is going to close the tap on them. They're suddenly going to find themselves unable to suckle at the teat of government. And they become terrified. Because they realize, oh my God, I'm actually going to have to go out there like most people in this country into the wide world and prove that I'm worth being paid. The only place in South Africa you can have a job and earn money without any capabilities at all is in government. And these people have just realized that in the Eastern Cape. And they went, oh, hell, if we don't get elected, because the people of that province are sick of them, without a doubt. If we don't get elected, we're going to have no money. So they start behaving like this. And you can always tell what someone's character is when things get tough. So now we know the character of the ANC in the Eastern Cape. You can see it in that one clip of people throwing stuff at each other. You think, all right, now we know what we're dealing with. These are very basic people. Mm-hmm. Very basic people. They should not be put in charge of anything.
And on the other hand, this is the perfect opportunity for someone who has presidential aspirations to step up and to prove themselves.
Instead, he's like, oh, I'm so ashamed.
To just say regrettable?
No, ashamed and regrettable. Okay. He should stand up and say, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop behaving like idiots. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing the rest of this organization. If we have any shred of dignity left in us, then we don't behave like this. And you are fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's what someone should do. But you see, anyone who does that right now stands the chance of losing votes.
Oh, well.
And so it's all about me. So whether it's Cyril or Nkosazana, they're too scared to say, hey, behave yourselves, because then they might not get those votes at the conference. They might not win. Believe me, this is going to happen again in December. At that big ANC convention, you watch. When they elect the new president, there's going to be chairs and tables and fires and tires and all kinds of things. Watch. It's going to be a disaster. And everyone's going to go, oh, I can't believe what's happened to ANC. Well, mark my words.
And I'm sorry, whoever the candidate is, you will then have nothing to say to the rest of the country when they're, you know,
when people have service delivery protests, or when people behave badly,
when they burn things up, what are you going to say?
Because they're no better and no worse than you.
Oh man. Yeah.
Where's Gwede Mantashe when this kind of crap happens? Where is he? He's probably sitting in a very comfortable one of those leather recliners. You know the ones where the foot piece comes up, kicks out in front of you, and you got that thing, that control on the side, and it's all poofy, and he's watching TV. He's not there. He's not working.
No.
Okay, who wants to turn their attention to the Kardashians quickly?
Faye. Oh, which one's pregnant now?
Well, no, they're all pregnant, aren't
three
they?
Of
even
them
Kanye.
Are pregnant.
Kanye's pregnant.
Oh.
Kylie's pregnant. And Khloe's pregnant.
And Kim through a surrogate.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So,
but you know what the latest rumor is?
What?
That Kylie's pregnant with Kim and Kanye's child. She's a surrogate.
Oh.
Oh. I thought that was Khloe who was the surrogate.
No. They say she's really pregnant with her boyfriend's baby.
You know what? That would make sense, because if you're going to have a surrogate, then have her young. I mean, sure. Kylie's what, 20?
Yeah, 20 on the dot.
She just better lay off the booze and drugs for a little while so the kid doesn't come out with some kind of fetal alcohol syndrome. All right, so Caitlin is trying out her new vagina and needed to learn how to use it. And so she called Kim. So Caitlin phoned up Kim, and we actually have that recording. Do you want to hear it?
Do we?
Caitlin wants to know how to use her new vagina, and she thought she'd call up the girls.
Hello?
Hey, Kim, how do you queef?
What?
I'm trying to take my new vag out for a test drive. Yeah, baby.
I don't know. You just, like, push like that.
Yeah, I tried that. Nothing's happening.
Hold on. Court's really good at that. Hello? Court, show Dad how to queef. No, Chloe's the one who's good at it. Oh, that's right. Chloe's the one who's good at it. Yeah,
Chloe's
Chloe.
Yeah, it's Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe. Hello? Chloe, show Dad how to queef. You just tuck in and push out like this.
Very nice. Sorry, let me try.
That's great.
Oh, the false alarm. That was a short. Gotta go change my shorts. Bye, girls.
Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing?
They really do sound like that, though. Yeah. They really do sound like that.
That is them. What do you mean?
Clustered family, though. Yeah. They can do that.
Of course. They can share They can share all this information. It's really good.
And Caitlin orders starts like what she has a better.
What are you talking about, Sheila?
She has like a little ball of air in her mouth.
All right. Stop it. We're piling on. They've got their own problems. All right. What else have you got?
Mark Zuckerberg has asked for forgiveness.
Please, I just want to look at Gareth's facial expression throughout the story. Yes, as
for the ways his work was used to divide people in a Facebook posting marking the end of Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday of atonement, this past Saturday. He did not refer to any specific issues in the message that he posted, where he said, for the ways my work was used to divide people rather than bring us together, I ask forgiveness and I will do better. Now, this comes as Facebook and other technology companies are under increased scrutiny amid that U.S. investigation into potential Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election campaign. These rumors are simply not going away. Facebook said on the 6th of September it had found that an operation likely based in Russia spent $100,000 on thousands of American ads promoting divisive social and political messages over a 2-year period. Facebook said that 3,000 ads and over 470 inauthentic accounts and pages were spread specifically for the purpose of polarizing views on topics including immigration, race, gay rights. And now they are, you know, under scrutiny and what would seem to be some other kind of investigation that has also been launched.
Listen, Zuckerberg, nobody on earth likes you. Nobody on earth wants anything to do with you. You created this Facebook. If you hadn't, someone else would have. We are not impressed. And you can go and atone all you like. You do whatever you do. Whatever rituals and ceremonies you take part in, that's entirely up to you. And we respect that, and that's hundreds. But please don't try to curry favor with everybody. We don't want you. If he arrived at my house with a bottle of wine and said, let's sit down and talk, I think I'd close the door in his face.
But you visited their headquarters last year, didn't you?
Yeah, he wasn't there. If he'd been there to welcome us, I might have been much more charitable.
Oh. Maybe we just don't understand.
But I told you when I was there what bugged me about it, right?
The hero worship.
Yeah, and it bugged me. I mean, obviously, Facebook is this huge, unstoppable, mega media empire. And I get it. It's useful. I mean, it's the yellow pages of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way many of us connect with our family and friends and people overseas that we don't see that often. Sure, it's great. But there's something very creepy at the heart of it. There's something about our information being sold. There's something about this Mark Zuckerberg and his own political ambitions that just leaves me a little uneasy. So forgive me. I don't trust the guy at all.
We must forgive you for the guy who's asking for forgiveness.
No, forgive me for not being more charitable about him. I can't. I do not think he is a salubrious guy. I think he is probably unhealthy for humanity.
Do we President Zuckerberg, is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Well, who knows? You see, I mean, there are reports saying that Facebook helped the Trump campaign and they helped the Russians. Mm. There are other reports saying that they helped Hillary, that they had these news feed kind of algorithms that would churn out anti-Trump stuff. Who knows? I don't trust the guy.
Mm.
Do you really have to ask for forgiveness on such a great grand scale, though? Like, I feel like you're...
It's called virtue signaling.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
It's him trying to be... He's trying to get everybody to go, oh, well, what a cool guy. What a nice dude.
Mm.
And he's not a nice dude, I'm telling you now. All right, I want to talk to a guy called Michael Matthews. He's the director of a South African movie called Apocalypse Now Now.
Now Now.
Isn't that great?
It is a South African term, now now.
Very much.
Apocalypse Now Now. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good, man. Awesome. So tell me about Apocalypse Now Now. Give everybody in the studio an idea of what you're talking about and everybody who's listening to us.
It originated from a novel. It's actually a Cape Town writer, Charlie Heumann. So it's based on a book. It came out about 4 years ago. And it's pretty much a dark fantasy set in Cape Town based on a 16-year-old high school kid in a slightly alternate version of South Africa or Cape Town. And myself and Sean Drummond, who I work with at BFAT Motel in Cape Town, kind of produced the short with Dylan Vught, who's from Stage 5 Films. And that's sort of where we are in terms of what everyone's seen so far. So that scene that we did in the proof of concept short film is pretty much just a little chunk straight out of the script.
All right, so what is this alternative reality for Cape Town? I mean, you say that it's set in this sort of strange version of Cape Town. What is that version?
Well, it's a version where kind of mythology, both internationally and local and African as well as South African, is sort of alive underneath the surface. So although people don't know it's there, there's creatures and monsters and kind of whole supernatural world happening kind of beneath the surface or just unseen by the everyday people.
Yeah, but what does it look like? And as a director, is it hard to create that reality on film?
It looks slightly alternate, like it's just a bit more of a moodier version of Cape Town, maybe slightly more industrial. But it's at the same time, it's kind of is already, I think that's what's nice about the book. It's got a lot of quite real South African flavor in it and real characters and that sort of thing. But I guess to create it, that's what we're sort of starting at the moment with the full feature version.
Right.
With the proof of concept that we made, it was really just a lot of like favors and friends and a little bit of money, but not much. So it was just quite a stretch to be able to pull it off, but fortunately we kept it in quite a controllable space. We shot on the back lot at the Cape Town Film Studios where they shot The Long Walk to Freedom on that township set. So we dressed that and kind of made it look a little bit more sort of run down and a bit more sort of genre filmish, but otherwise it was kind of how it was there.
Now this short, you obviously want to get a groundswell of support and hopefully crowdfund a feature version of the story, right?
We definitely want to get the groundswell of excitement and people thinking it looks really cool. But I don't think we are going to go the crowdfunding route. I think we're trying to finance through either just pure financiers or potentially kind of smaller studios in the US and that sort of thing, but still keep it very South African.
And you've apparently got, I mean, you mentioned some of the names already. You've got Lo Fenter in there, right?
Yeah, Lowe's in there. He was amazing. And we kind of met a lot of people who have watched it have been kind of not realized it's him until about halfway through because he looks so different. And, then the child is Gary and Dowds, who was in another South African film called Shepherds and Butchers. I don't know if you've seen that or heard of that one. That came out last year. It did quite well. It was played at Berlin. And he's a really strong young actor. So the two of them were a great combo.
And as you say, it's kind of dark because you've got this kid who is, you know, like really snarky and nasty, and he does bad things, and he turns to Lowe's character, who's an even worse human being, and the two of them kind of try to solve problems.
pretty much. His girlfriend goes missing near the beginning of the story, and because he's quite a dark kid, and some of the things he's done at the beginning of the story make him potentially the person that the police are after, he ends up going looking for a bounty hunter, someone to help him find kind of some more clues and things, and that character Ronan is who he meets and ends up being a supernatural bounty hunter and takes him more into that underworld and becomes the reveal into that supernatural side of Cape Town.
And tell me about the guy who's helping write this, Terry Tatchell.
Terry is she's actually Canadian, but she's partner with Neil Blomkamp. Mm-hmm. And she wrote District 9 together with him. We're trying to do it as a Canadian South African co-production. We're working with a company called XYZ over that side, and so we sort of partnering the project up with Canadian and South African partners to sort of access both the financing and sort of distribution models. But Sean Drummond, my partner here, wrote the short proof of concept. And I don't know if you guys know the, Five Fingers for Marseille, the other film we've been working on. That's the feature that's coming out soon.
Tell me about it.
So that's a South African Western. It's the trailer's out if you wanted to have a look on YouTube, but that's got quite a few local stars. Kenneth Nkosi, Vuyo Dabula, Jerry Mofokeng, and quite a handful. It's a bit of an ensemble cast, but it's pretty much a modern day contemporary Western set in the Eastern Cape.
Oh, wow.
And we were just there, myself and Sean were across there, and also Dylan Vogt, at TIFF about 3 weeks ago. We had the premiere in Toronto. And then we were in Fantastic Fest in Texas last week, showing it there as well, which was really cool. And then hopefully the South African premieres in about a month's time. And then releasing early next year.
Well, listen, all the best of luck, Michael. It sounds great. And we hope to see more on the Apocalypse Now front very, very soon too. So thank you for the info.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, dude. Very nice. Nice to talk to you. There we go. There's Michael Matthews, who's the director of Apocalypse Nana. Sounds cool. If you're a sci-fi fan and you like kind of gritty, dark stuff, then this might be just for you. And if you are one of those people who's got, you know, some money lying around, you might want to help them crowdfund it. There we go. Why not? Mubs, what else is in the news?
Okay, so this is quite a nice story. There are a fleet of cruise liners that have decided to halt.
Decided it.
Decided it?
They decided.
Yes, they decided it. How dare you, Sia? We don't laugh at you when you screw up once or twice.
I know. I screw up all the time, but decided it is great.
They've decided to halt their tours because they're sending all their fleets to help those who have been affected by Hurricane Irma in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
What is this? Caribbean? What is this? Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean has canceled an upcoming trip in order to send one of their fleets to Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The huge cruise liner can carry over 3,000 passengers, and they're also going to be donating supplies as well as helping to pick up evacuees, transferring them to Fort Lauderdale in Florida. Those who were booked on the original cruise will receive a full refund as well as 25% of their next trip if they rebook in the next 30 days.
Wow.
Royal Caribbean has also dispatched their Majesty of the Sea and Empress of the Seas ships to help with the relief efforts. So far, around 17,000 people have been evacuated. But, you know, the situation in Puerto Rico has been described as dire. The two hurricanes left the nation without power, and they say that this is something that is expected to continue for several months. 44% of the population is without drinking water.
Yeah.
And others are struggling for food and clothing. Now, Norwegian Cruise Line, which sends ships to St. Thomas and St. Martin, has also offered to help residents. They have also been matching cash donations. Carnival are another cruise company that have sent a fleet of 11 ships to assist with relief efforts. And then I see now also on Twitter, Jay-Z's Tidal, the streaming company. Yeah, like everybody has kind of been, you know, trying to get together to help in some other kind of way.
Can't believe that 44% you said
44% of the nation have no drinking water.
That's dangerous, man. And there's no power. And they say that for the next 2 or 3 months, there isn't going to be power.
That's what they predict.
Can you imagine being there? Wow.
It's dire.
Oh, that's hectic.
Yeah.
All right. Man. I'm glad I'm not in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are glad that we're not having to go through that
stuff. Puerto Rico. Despacito. Maybe despacito means it's really, like, awful.
No.
Desperado.
No.
In Puerto Rico. I'm trying to find new words for this song.
What does despacito mean? Does it have a meaning?
Means slowly or come or move slowly or something. Oh. Yeah. Something very...
Kind of like what Sia does on couches.
Unlike a hurricane.
Moving on. Folks, do you want a bit of a PSA? It's like I'm trying to help out here this morning. Do you want to find out if you have a psychopath that could be close to you or you work with a psychopath?
We work with a psychopath.
It's you.
Who's a psychopath? You say so confidently.
It's you, Sia.
Carry on.
As I was about to say.
Yep.
Firstly, by definition, a psychopath isn't just someone who goes around and, like, you know, chops people up and stabs or whatnot. By definition, a psychopath is someone who suffers from a personality disorder and that is characterized by shallow emotions, stress tolerance, lacking empathy, cold-heartedness, and lacking guilt. Right now, do you feel like you might be popping up on the list?
Well, that could be anyone.
It goes on as well, by definition, to be superficial character or irresponsibility. So, there's a new study that has now revealed the professions that have the most psychopaths in them. Okay, so here's the top 10. Number 10, a civil servant. Number 9, a chef. You might be minding your own business next time going out for dinner and your chef might be a classified, defined psychopath.
Well, that angry British chef is definitely a psychopath.
Gordon Ramsay.
That one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a psycho.
Some more in the top 10, police officers, journalists, surgeons, anyone who works in sales. Number 3 on the list, interestingly enough, people who work in the media, so TV and radio, could most likely be psychopaths. Do you want to look around this room quickly now? So right back at you, Mabale Moloi. Number 2.
Yeah, I'll admit I've got some of that going on.
Yeah, you do.
I got a lot of that going on. Go through the characteristics again.
Superficial character. Stress tolerance, shallow emotions, lacking empathy, cold-heartedness.
shallow emotions and lacking empathy, that's me.
Antisocial behavior, I say as I look across to Benjamin Kopinski. Yeah. See?
I think we've all got to own a little bit of this, really.
We do have to. And Gareth, do you know what's worse in your case? The number one profession where you will find most psychopaths, number one is CEO. So you are number 3 and number 1 on the list.
Yeah, but you have to be. To be a CEO, you got to grab everything by the...
Yeah, you got to be ruthless. Sometimes you just can't care. But yeah, so psychopaths around you. Ay, ay, ay. That's freaky.
Despacito. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Despacito. I'm sorry, I can't take you seriously because I have shallow emotions.
There we go.
And
so,
no empathy.
Nah.
Yeah.
None. I think you've got to be a little bit careful not to label people a psycho. You know, when we think about a psychopath, it's usually someone who's dangerous to the rest of us.
That's
in society.
It. Yeah.
And I think some of these tendencies and these personality traits might be psychopathic, but you've also got to be, there's got to be a scale.
You're not completely.
Yeah. I mean, like if you're scoring over 80% on each of those, you've got major problems.
Yeah.
And particularly the antisocial behavior, because that would mean you were hurting people, hurting yourself. You were
sitting
acting
in a dark
out,
room the entire
right,
day.
You're acting out on it. There's stuff there that's not good. And anybody could tell you that's not good. You don't need to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist to figure that out. But I do think there are probably many of us, and certainly judging by the way that description came out, there are many very successful people who have these tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all bad.
A tiny good dose of it.
I don't know why people who are always full of love and they lather everybody else with affection, I don't know why those people aren't considered sick in the head as well, because to me they are. They're annoying as all hell, and they're needy, and they cloy, and they're just, you know what I mean? Those people are just as bad as the supposedly psychopathic tendencies of people who are not like that.
Just to clarify, you're saying some people with a lot of love are sick in the head.
Yes, they're sick in the head. Because they're needy, and they demonstrate they're constantly looking for approval and affection, and it's annoying. And I'm sure that there must be some kind of psychological problem going on there.
Fair enough. There might.
Surely there is. So it's a half and half.
Yeah.
If one end of the scale, these people who are shallow in emotion, lacking empathy, not particularly social, you know, those people, if they have a problem, the people on the opposite end, the people who can never be alone, the people who are incapable of functioning without someone to cling to the whole time, the people who need to be clung to as well, I think that's a different kind of, you know, it's on the same scale. So at the one end, you got those extremes. The other end, you got those extremes. It's got to, it stands to reason that if there's a psychological problem on the one side, there must be on the other as well.
What you want to do is find yourself somewhere in between the two extremes.
And I think most of us are. It's like Sia said, the extremes are the problem.
I think I'd more like to be on the darker side. I just feel you have some power there. People don't want to mess with a psychopath.
You have some of the... Yeah, but people don't want to be around a psychopath, full stop.
They like bad boys sometimes.
You've got a bit of both in you. Because you can be very optimistic and positive and generous. And
but I need someone to take me seriously when I say I'll punch you in the throat.
But you wouldn't. I don't think you would punch anyone in the throat. So I don't know that that's true.
But I want to.
No, you don't.
I want someone to take me seriously when I say
that. Yeah, but you don't want to actually punch him in the throat, so they know you're not going to go through.
I don't want to ruin my hands like that. I don't want to break anything.
Ruin my hands.
Can we talk about kidnapping?
Yes.
Oh, so, psychopaths to kidnapping. We're on a roll.
10 years ago, Madeleine McCann went missing.
She's still missing.
Still missing.
What? And those parents have not given up, have they?
They have not given up, but either have the local authorities, Gareth. An extra £154,000 have been dedicated to this case to find this girl who will now be about 13, 14. Over £11 million so far has been spent in finding this child.
Sure. Now, this must be the most important child in the world, obviously.
Exactly. I get it. Every life is precious and all that kind of stuff. But kids go missing every single day.
Mm.
All around the world.
Mm.
And I know you love your child and you want to find them and stuff, but who's justifying this expenditure? I'm going to be that guy this morning and say, is a child really worth this much money?
Not Madeleine McCann. And didn't they have other children?
Yeah, two others.
And can't they make more?
I think it's because of the attention that the story garnered.
But what was that's it probably, about the story?
That's probably the only reason why they are still invested in it is because of the headlines that it created.
So there's money coming from somewhere, right? Somewhere, somehow. It was kind of shelved for a while, but now there's enough funding for this to go through until next March.
Hmm. Madeleine McCann is either dead or she doesn't want to be found.
Or she doesn't know who she is anymore.
Yeah.
And it's probably working in Latvia.
I mean, if you were doing
things to old men.
If you were 4 years old when you were kidnapped, there's a very big chance that you don't know who you are.
Exactly.
No, but you see, the reason why... I think she's dead, just to... Personally, because as well, she could have been spotted by now. No one out there has spotted her.
No, Sia, that's where you're wrong. Despacito, you're wrong. There's been 500 lines of inquiry, 8,000 potential sightings. So when they say there's a crack team,
8,000 potential sightings in 10 years.
Yes.
Okay.
And 650 sex offenders have been interviewed and interrogated.
Oh.
So they're not just walking around going, here, Madeleine. They're actually really...
In the sex offender community, they're always primed to look out for Madeleine McCann.
So sex offenders are being just accosted on a weekly basis. Like, have you seen this girl? Like, oh, not again. You know, I just want to be a sex offender. I just want to go about my day. I just want to walk past the school and here you are bugging me about this Madeleine McCann every single day. But now Netflix actually want to make a show about this.
Like a documentary,
you know,
or
like making a murderer. That guy lived in a shed who killed his someone. Not really. Well, now Netflix want to make a show around this, but you would think that these McCanns would jump the opportunity. Well, the parents don't want to be involved.
Oh, that's interesting.
I thought this is very interesting.
Yeah, and you know what else? How are they going to make a movie when they don't know what the end is? Like, they haven't got an ending yet. We don't know if she's dead. We don't know if she's alive.
Yeah, but also what Netflix could argue, and I'm not saying they are, this is me just making this up, is that if a show goes out, public sort of attention is then raised, mm-hmm. and then everyone starts looking for this child because they want to be part of the show. How about that?
But how is that not a bad how's that a bad thing?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, what if this was the next stage in finding this kid would be actually have the show, and the ending, which Gareth doesn't exist, will now be created because now there'll be more than 650 sex offenders that will be probed. Everyone will have a go at this. Okay. And then there'll be new intel through the show, and then you, who knows? This could be an incredible TV show. That all because right. of the TV show will then create an ending for the Madeleine McCann saga.
I was bored with Madeleine McCann like within the first 3 years. I don't want to talk about her anymore.
Yeah, but
let's move on.
But how about that for a concept though? TV show could actually resolve this.
Look, these parents, if they ever find Madeleine, can never complain about, you know, her. Like, oh, Madeleine, she left her room untidy. Like, yo, you look for her.
Roman says that McCann was accidentally killed by her parents and they got rid of the body. The Portuguese police said as much. The McCanns take anyone to court who writes a book on the subject. Very suspicious.
Yeah, there have been a lot of theories about...
Well, there is that as well.
What happened to her.
That's why they don't want Netflix making a show.
Oh.
Look after your goddamn children. Stop making it everyone else's problem.
Speaking of children, would you like to hear some of the most... popular baby names in Britain?
Madeleine.
No.
Oh, I don't want to know. No, don't know. Oh, that's bad.
No. And I think that we have I think we have celebrity culture to thank for this. You know, with names like Northwest, Sir, Rumi, Apple.
Zuma. I still can't.
So the British Office for National Statistics recently revealed their list of rare names for babies in the UK. We're going to go through some of these. Do we have time or not?
We've got to get Rich on. So if you want to save it for after, we can get to it.
Okay.
Then. I think it's quite fun because we can make fun of these names.
Yes.
All right. But let's go to Rich Mulholland first. It's time for a little reality check. Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Excellent. What's on your mind today?
Okay, so, Gareth, I've got a terrible echo coming back at me with every word. I don't know if we can sort that.
Can you hear better now? Is it improved?
I think so.
All right, go ahead.
That's perfect. Thank you. All right, so a few weeks ago, in fact, this is the thing I was going to talk about when we started talking about Bitcoin when Rand was up. But it's still been on my mind, and I want to address it. So maybe a few weeks ago, I saw a video that was getting sent around social media, and it said this is the video that police are trying to have removed from the internet. And the video shows a group of police in Britain, and they're marching through, and there's a bunch of teenagers, probably about my son's age, about 14 years old. And these teenagers are swearing at the police, baiting them, laughing at them, and getting all up in their face. Mm-hmm. And the police keep saying to them, guys, disperse, disperse, disperse. And the kids aren't. And then the police say, if you don't go away, we're going to arrest you. And then the kids are like, oh, fuck you, and stuff like this. And you can see it all in the video. I actually put it on my Twitter channel this morning so people can see if they want reference. Mm-hmm. And then what happened is then the police have enough. And one guy jumps in and wallops one of these kids. And then it gets crazy. You can't do that. Then they're starting to fight the police. And the police are fighting back. And they're holding these kids down on the ground and things like this. And the guy who shared on social media said, this is disgusting. The police must be stopped. And I'm thinking, what the bloody hell is wrong with us? When I grew up, people were petrified of the police. This is not a bad thing. Mm. We expect the police to be the few that control the many, right? They have to be allowed a different set of rules to us, you know, because we can't be afraid of police brutality when somebody's breaking into our house. So where do we draw the line? You know, if someone's breaking into our house, we want the police to come in and get heavy-handed. And it's such a tough job that these guys have. And every single time they do something that goes against their sensibilities, we call them out. Now, I think as society, we need to be very, very careful what we wish for. Because if we keep wishing for police never to raise their hands, never to get heavy-handed, And because these, you can't wait every time. The police can't be the second people to react in every circumstance. And if we keep waiting for this to happen, one, nobody will want to be police because it'll simply be too dangerous. And second of all, we are going to hamstring the police. We're going to expect them to enforce the law with themselves handcuffed. And I do not think this is a good thing. You know, I saw videos from Barcelona this weekend, and there was protesters, and everyone is upset because these protesters are protesting. And the police all of a sudden start hitting back with batons and things. Mm-hmm. But again, you have, you know, thousands and thousands of protesters and 20 police trying to block a certain way. Now, unfortunately, this is how this works. This is how the system works. We can't keep telling them, the police, that they're wrong for getting heavy-handed, or else they will lose all power and all control. Again, I want to go back to the final point that when I was a child, we were petrified of the police. We were absolutely petrified. Mm-hmm. And that was what gave them the respect they needed to get their job done.
Right.
And I think we need to be extremely careful about taking this away.
Yeah, the police, you've got to have a little bit of fear. I mean, this is important because if you don't fear them, these are not your parents, right? They don't have to carry a sense of respect. And if you see a policeman and you know you've done something wrong, you should be afraid.
Absolutely.
And if you see the police and they tell you, look, stop it, or we're going to get heavy with you, don't expect them not to get heavy with you when you don't stop it. How are you ever going to be accountable for your own actions?
And where do we draw the line? Because where do we let the police do their job and where do we stop them just because on the one thing it's more a civil rights issue, on the other it's a criminal rights issue. And when the two of them mix, how do we control that?
Well, I think in any country where the police are well governed, where there is good leadership, where they know what the parameters of their authority are, in any society like that, the only people who have to fear the police are the criminals. Because ordinary citizens, their interactions with the police are very limited. And if you're on a peaceful protest, the police are going to be peaceful with you. If you're on an armed or violent or vigilant or dangerous protest, they're going to join in and they're going to knock you out because they've got superior firepower.
Sorry, even when it's there's peaceful, but there's also legal. Yeah. So when the people walked through the gates of Parliament a few years ago, mm-hmm. if you remember, they actually were basically storming the gates of Parliament. They're not allowed to be there.
Yeah.
The police violently stopped them to push them back outside. They kept saying, go outside, step back, step back. And the guys were walking in peacefully holding flowers, but you're still breaking the law.
Yeah.
If somebody walked into my house saying, I'm coming into your house illegally, but I'm holding a flower, you know, I would want the police to get heavy-handed to throw them out. So there's also the rule of law that comes in. It's not enough to have your hands raised in the air, do something illegal, and then expect not to be treated as a criminal.
All right, we've got someone on the line who wants to actually talk to both of us about this. You're on the phones. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
So it's not this specific incident. I don't know if you guys saw the incident over the weekend where it was somewhere in Cape Town in an informal settlement, where there was two cops trying to arrest a guy, and this guy was fighting them. And there's probably about 50 or 60 other people around the cops chanting and screaming at them and whatnot, but this guy kept on resisting arrest. Anyway, it ended up with this guy being shot in the leg by one of the police officers. And everyone went off like, oh, you know, why did you shoot the guy? What has he done? Whatever. He resisted arrest, and there was about 50 or 60 of the people standing around, you know, going at these cops. So I don't blame them for one second. If a policeman is going to arrest you, don't resist the arrest. You know, have it sorted out at the station. But I fully agree.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Rich?
Yeah, exactly. No, 100% agree with this. You've got a group of people, essentially an angry mob situation, in which these two police people, a man or woman, I'm not sure, but they have to do a job. And they've got to show that they are in control. If they don't, there could be anarchy. They don't know who around there is friends with this criminal. And in the past, when a policeman says, you're under arrest, are you coming with me, you do it. And I don't want to create a police state, but I do believe that we need to respect their power. And we need to allow them to do their job, even if that makes them get heavy-handed. I think because if we don't, chaos will ensue. And I just keep on thinking about what will happen when we have a world where we completely handcuff our police. where they have no power and where they're unwilling to act in any way where they think they might get into trouble. Because then when the person is breaking into your house and the policeman says, well, I didn't ask him nicely if he's, you know, got any other reasons to be there. Therefore, I need to kind of leave this until I have permission. Then all of a sudden you and your family are at risk. And it's very funny. Then we'll talk about how inefficient the police are at doing their job. These poor guys cannot win. You can't have it both ways. Like, honestly, you either want the police to do their job or you don't. And unless, and you know, I also stand by, if you think you can do it better with flowers and poppies, then go and do their job for a while.
Yeah, and it's damn hard. I mean, it is impossibly difficult if you're a policeman.
And in South Africa, they're extremely underpaid as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's an interesting cool. one thank to think about. I mean, it's so complicated because it's such a balance of stuff. But thank you, Rich. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care.
Cool. Rich Mulholland did a little bit of a reality check for us this morning. It's really difficult because the police, on the one hand, have to be able to have an authority of some kind to rely on. They have to be able to do their jobs and prevent criminals from doing whatever they want. And on the other hand, they have to also observe civil rights, and they also have to observe people's human rights and protect them wherever they can. And obviously in this country, we've got a situation now where our police have got a terrible reputation on both fronts. They neither are able to prevent crime, nor are they able to deal with people respectfully and decently, ordinary citizens. So who knows what to make of this? It's very complicated. As Rich Mulholland, he'll return next week. But before we get into any more of that, let's go to Mubs and find out what those names are. These are UK names, right?
These are UK names that were recently revealed by the British Office for National Statistics. Sorry, I said these are popular, but it's actually a list of some of the rare names for babies in the UK.
A rare name.
And as I mentioned earlier, I think that we have celebrity culture to thank for this trend.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Is there something like Pear?
Well, see, let's begin with the girls, shall we? Twinkle.
Shut up. Oh, wait, but I get that's cute. Like, oh, Twinkle, my little star. I would do that.
Twinkle Sangweni.
Wow. Okay. Riverly, Peach. And then Peach is not enough. Peach Rose. Because why not?
That's.
Oracle. Oracle is someone's name.
Okay.
That's Onyx.
Presumptuous.
Onyx.
Onyx sounds very masculine. Onyx.
Onyx sounds like a superhero name.
Mm.
Marvelous.
Marvelous is a name.
Someone's name.
Somebody named
Hello. My name is Marvelous Jones. How are you doing?
I don't want to be this person, but that sounds like someone who lives in Kagiso.
Okay.
Marvelous. Marvelous Sitone.
Hello, my girl. Hello, my girl. What's your name? Marvelous.
Okay. Would you rather be Marvelous, or would you rather have the name Margarita? Because that, like, the drink, yes.
The drink,
like,
or the pizza?
I'll have a margarita, thanks.
That just makes you sound like an alcoholic. You love booze so much, you name a child after a drink.
Or you were conceived in a pub.
Both.
Yeah. Imagine Michael Caine naming his daughter Margarita.
Mm.
Margarita
I
Caine.
I was sitting the other day with my friends. We was talking about names for girls. Young girls, man. And I decided I'd call my daughter Margarita. I do like a margarita, and it is a good name. It's a good name.
Okay. Is it as good as Hennessy? Because that is
Hennessy.
Name.
Oh,
gosh, come on.
Hennessy. No. Yes, for girls. Oh, but this is probably the best
I don't
one.
Know why you called her that, but her name's Hennessy. Can't even pronounce the H. Hennessy.
Well, I suppose it's better than Glenn Morangi. That'd be a horrible girl's name.
Wow. Okay. But the worst one for me, I think, especially given the times that we live in today, somebody named their child Isis.
No.
Well, no, because Isis used to be a decent thing before
those
guys. I know,
but that's what I'm saying, especially given today's times, where any association with Isis is just bad.
I mean, she used to be the goddess of magic and the wife of Osiris, and, you know, in ancient Egypt, she was revered. Now it's considered, like, pejorative.
Well, now Isis just...
Now it's horrible.
It's just tainted, the name.
Hello, Isis. Are you here to collect the flowers for your mum?
And, like, you see, some of these names are cute for babies, yeah. But if I had to walk into a boardroom and meet Peach Gold, or Twinkle? How am I meant to take you seriously? Hi, Twinkle. Yes, please just manage my investments.
I have no labs, Twinkle.
Yeah. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to your new CEO, Hennessy Williams. What?
<Yeah. laughs> And then Hennessy is shaped like a Johannesburger bottle.
Oh, yeah. All right. Quickly, let's go through the boys' names. Yankee, Wolfie. Yes.
Yankee Doodle.
Yes, Yankee, Wolfie, Ulysses.
Ulysses.
Triumph.
Well, that's a good name.
Triumph.
I like Triumph.
Okay.
Triumph Karpinski.
Wolfie isn't too bad, folks.
Rocket.
Okay.
S. Just the letter on its own. Somebody.
Just the letter S.
Somebody named their child the letter S.
Wait, so that's is it, it S or is it S?
No. It's hey. S. I cannot deal. Oak. Otter. Oh, and the boys have a Marvelous too. They also have a Marvelous.
What?
John Boy.
No, guys.
See, this just proves that people have children for shits and giggles. Mm-mm. They really do.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Jupiter, Jagger, Heaven. Excellence.
Also, again, sounds like someone in Kahiso. Excellence, Mabunda.
Dougal. D-O-U-G-A-L. Dougal. And then the last one is Bane.
Well, someone's just sent me a list that they put up on their wall of fame in a hospital in Mpumalanga. Mm. And they've collected the names. Here are some of the names of people here in this country who have been for treatment at this place. Wanted.
Yes.
Oral.
Oral.
O-R-A-L?
Oral exam.
Oral.
Okay.
Harvest.
Okay.
Noise.
I mean,
Monday.
Yes.
Probably born on a Monday.
Yeah. Leave us. Leave dash us. Leave us is a person's name.
Okay.
Good enough.
Yes. Good enough is quite well known.
Shitty.
S-H-I-T-I.
Shitty.
Okay.
Lou. L-E-E-U.
Isn't that lion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heliotrope.
What?
Yes, sis.
Consolation. Yes. Yes, strong man,
yeah.
Cunny boy.
What?
Surprise Adolf Zita.
Sure.
Big one.
He was a big one.
There you go.
Yeah. Oros.
Yes. Colin Maina was at that hospital.
Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Arson. Muilek.
Moilek.
No, guys.
Shame.
The parents can't love a child if they call the child Moilek.
No, but this is what I love.
Obvious.
What I love about my people is there's probably context to all of these stories, though. All of these names.
That's not even good enough, huh?
Good enough.
See, just like good enough. There's good probably enough, some story to it.
Yeah, like he was one of two twins and the better twin died, so he's good enough.
Yeah. Let's go with it.
Donate.
Okay.
Banana.
Mm.
It's an actual name. Appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel.
Wow.
Cancel return to sender. We don't want this
cancel
baby.
Cancel is a name. Isn't that great?
Sounds like the mother changed her mind about having that baby as soon as it was born. Cancel. Cancel him.
But every interaction that you have in life starts with you justifying your name and who you are. You're on the back foot.
Yeah.
You don't even have to read Freakonomics to realize this. It's not fair.
I went to open a business bank account at Nedbank a few months ago, says somebody on WhatsApp, and the banker's name was Gaylord.
Okay.
I mean, I love the way Sia is mocking that the loudest. You should have some... like sympathy there. I mean, you know. By the way, Homer, who's on it at the moment, he says he cannot disagree with me and Rich more this morning.
Oh.
Police are state thugs. Justice is not their prerogative. It is the enforcement of rules. Irrespective of whether their rules are just or not.
The police are jackboot thugs who affect violence on citizens to enforce state rules. Who makes the rules? Are the rules just? Is police power limited?
Oh, hot damn.
See, I kind of get where he's going with that. But Rahman, what you forget is that people are thugs.
Yeah, people behave badly.
People are dreadful most of the time. So you believe maybe you can live behind a high wall, but who's going to bring thugs to book?
Right.
Who's going to keep them kind of somewhat... See, like religion keeps people in check to a certain degree, but physically you've got to keep people in check as well.
Well, you know what? I think that Homer needs to go back to the studio. I heard him recording a version of Work, 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 Work by Rihanna. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Here it is. This is Homer, who was busy in the studio when none of us were looking. He was busy recording his version of Work, Work, Work. Listen. So, you just watch out.
I didn't think it was possible for anybody to sound worse than we do. Well, but there you have it.
If you vape as much as he does, you'll sound like that.
All right, ladies and gents, have a very happy morning in the company of CliffCentral.com today. We've got an incredible array of shows for your listening pleasure, including Auto Central, brand new version of that. We've got Rami and Romeo popping by with Belighted. We've got, what else? The Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald. And
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabuyile at 11, Youth Leadership Platform at 2 after The Leadership Platform, and the Maid Sessions as well at 6 p.m. after a replay of the Gareth Cliff Show.
Busy, busy, busy. All of that and more on the way for you. I've got an interview here with Sydney Matebula, a famous South African actor.
Kagiso.
Sorry.
Which
Kagiso Madupe.
Yes, okay. The actor.
Sydney we did the other day, right? Have we done Sydney's interview?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right, keep that in reserve. All right, so here he is, Kagiso Madupe. I spent a bit of time with him the other day. And we thought we'd just figure out where he is. He's a tremendously interesting man. He's doing so much interesting stuff outside of acting.
Mm-hmm.
He went on this mass circumcision campaign where he convinced a whole lot of guys to get it done safely and clinically. And he has also been raising money to help various causes. He's set up a number of interesting causes of his own, entirely apart from his acting career. He's been in every major South African television production that's noteworthy. And he's just a really interesting all-round guy. He spoke about his dad quite a lot. He spoke about family values and how that stuff matters to him. So you could take a listen to the interview with Kagiso Madupe next. On CliffCentral.com, it's 7 minutes after 8.
This is CliffCentral.com.